Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we come every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. We pray for you, with you, and right belong beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. you have something that you want to ask God for or you want to thank God for, now is the time. You can call 319-527-6204 and call in your prayer requests at this time. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. So in the meantime, I want to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen, amen, and amen.
Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681, and call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. 319-527-6204. Call in your prayer request. This is Pray One. You're listening to Pray One for Another, and we're taking prayer requests at this time. In fact, let us pray right now. Lord, when life is tempted to abandon hope in the future, but you are my God, and I can draw strength from you. Let me trust you, Father, in good times and in bad times. Let me persevere, even if my soul is troubled. Let me follow your Son, Jesus Christ, this day and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And it's as simple as that. All you have to do is call in your prayer request. If there's something that you want to thank God for, even if he woke you up this morning clothed in your right mind, or if you want to thank him for a job or a home or a roof over your head, food on your tables, whatever it may be, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. Taking prayer requests at this time. In the meantime, I will play another selection.
A plethora of life's enigmas have incapacitated your people. Lord, we cry for the power that comes from being in your presence to resuscitate us so that we may live. Lord, we proclaim you now.
We proclaim you now.
And your mighty power. And your awesome majesty. Hallelujah. Lord, come upon us now. Yes, Lord. And release your power. We need your power. And let your presence fall. Hallelujah. Come on, voices of Citadel. I need you to harmonize tonight. And let's talk to the Lord. Lord, we proclaim your name.
Without you.
You can't breathe without you.
strength. Receive new peace. Receive new joy. Hallelujah. In your presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We cry out to you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah.
Dear Lord, thank you for the joyful, abundant life that is mine through Christ Jesus. Guide me according to your will and help me become a woman whose life is a worthy example to others. Give me courage, Lord, to claim the spiritual riches you have promised. And show me your plan for my life today and forever. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. In Matthew 7:7-8, in the CSB Bible says, keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find it. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who searches, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. And that's all you have to do is ask God for whatever it is that you are in need of. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection. And after the selection, I will come back with our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Praise be to God.
I'm all alone, searching for an answer to go on in this life. I'm tired of failure. I tried so many times to find my way, and I'm not sure. I'm all worn out. I'm all worn out. I'm crying. Oh, oh. Need to stop from denying. Oh, oh. The truth that I'm hiding. Oh, oh. Lord, I really don't know which way to go. I'm not sure. I'm waiting, anticipating, seeking counsel. I'm so ashamed as I walk in the door. I'm crying. Thank you.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening, which is entitled Cuddling In. Praise be to God. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms 116, verses 1 through 7. And it says, praise be to God. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, amen, where it says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Death wraps its rope around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save me. How kind the Lord is. How good he is. So merciful, this God of ours. The Lord protects those of childlike faith. I was facing death and he saved me. Let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. Again, the title of this message is Cuddling In. The text for this message is coming from Psalms 116 and 7, and it says, return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Amen. Praise God. The writer says, Daddy, will you read to me? My daughter asked, it's not an unusual question for a child to make parent. But my daughter is 11 now. These days, such requests are fewer than they were when she was younger. Yes, I said happily. And she cuddled up next to me on the couch. As I read to her from the Fellowship of the Ring, she practically melted into me. It was one of those glorious moments as a parent when we feel perhaps just an inkling of the perfect love our Father has for us, as his deep desire for us to cuddle in to his presence and love for us. I realized in that moment that I'm a lot like my 11-year-old much of the time. I'm focused on being independent. It's so easy to lose touch with God's love for us, a tender and protective love that Psalms 116 describes as gracious and righteous, full of compassion. It's a love where, like my daughter, I can curled up in God's lap, at home in his delight for me. Psalms 116 and 7 suggests that we might need to regularly remind ourselves of God's good love and then crawl up into his waiting arms. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. And indeed, he has. Amen. To God be the glory. Question. When was the last time you rested quietly in God's love? And what barriers, if any, might keep you from experiencing the Father's delight for you? Think about those two questions, powerful questions to ask yourself. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your perfect love for us. Help us to remember that love and to rest in your goodness and delight in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that is our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. You see, those verses God is so responsive that you can always reach him. He bends down and listens to your voice. This writer's love for the Lord had grown because he had experienced answers to his prayers. So if you are discouraged, remember that God is near, listening carefully to every prayer and answering each one in order to give you his best. Amen. Praise be to God again. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, and this is our sweet hour of prayer where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. And at 7 p.m., our very own Apostle Dee Wiggins will come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us and participate in our lesson this evening, again, all you have to do is call in 319-527-6204, and that's at 7 p.m. Praise be to God. In the meantime, I will play another selection while we're waiting. Praise God.
This is for my sister.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is for my sister. Stay strong.
Yeah.
I pray your strength in Christ. Don't let the game steer you wrong. On the same drink, water change, same cheap boys, same kush smoke, same conversation, different stuff, same temptation, same game, same heart, same front, like you got paper, it make you feel big, carrying his gun, tough guy, such a dead beat to his kids, but he's so fly, 90% of his conversation was all lies, he won't shoot for the price of one, you and your sister likewise, so he buy a drink to get you drunk. Now you're rocking on your sister's side. Every opportunity get you wish you bad by. Now you both way controlled by another power. Quiet as kept every sucker in the club plot with no regret. I used to plot too. I must confess it was right. But that's the price my sister pay. Every night she plays.
She plays a street life. There's no place she can go.
The street life don't come with no proposal. Only believe half of what you see. And only 2% of what you hear. Pray your strength to
play. Oh, in the street
life,
you play your life.
I know Jesus in your mouth, but he's far from your heart. No doubt you can see love from the start. Ever tired your thumb, sipping on your drink, sitting at the bar, five drinks a minute. Now you on a dance floor, heavy breathing, bumping and grinding like you want more. Sweating teeth, dropping it low to the floor. This represents everything you stand for. Showing the games you sold, not told. Remember you reap what you sold.
People see.
tomorrow, one night stand in the back of his car instead of the man of respect. You let him trick your heart, you surviving on the edge. Hope you found a ball of bouncing around from clubs to car. He only likes you enough when you giving it up. Your friendships can't be taught, so when he sets you up, remember respect can't be bought. So be the real queen, you give me all.
What a real sister thinks that.
What a real sister thinks
that.
Remember patience, race, death, all the money, material things. Sisters will never feel an empty heart. Don't be ashamed to call on Jesus' name. He'll heal your pain, erase your scar. If you go and worship Son, you remember Jesus gave you life, and he loves you for who you really are. You a temple of God, a queen, so keep your faith up and look towards the star. I'm sent back Christ Jesus to point the way. To safety, to security. Come to world of the living. And I love you too. Come to world deliverance. Keep your faith up, sister. Keep your faith up.
For your heart, dear, I am a soul on fire. Lord, I
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace, which woke us up this morning and kept us safe through the night. For bringing us to a brand new day, we bless your holy name. We remain forever grateful for our homes, work, and families, and pray that you will send angels to protect us. May you mend every broken heart, touch all who need healing, comfort all who moan, and bless those with financial needs. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And this is our sweet hour of prayer. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda. We pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Friday. And at 7 p.m., our very own Apostle Audie Wiggins will be here with our lesson in basic theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us and participate in our lesson this evening, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. In the meantime, while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another selection. To God be the glory.
Yeah. say? You can't be breaking down and falling out. You're going to break out your prayer. Break out your word. You're going to break out the praise. Last time, when somebody clap your hands, this a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got.
Praise be to God, and that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And as we get ready to go into the second half of our program for this evening, I'd like to acknowledge my co-host, Sister Barbara. God bless you. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you all doing?
Blessed, thank you. And to our First Lady, Nadine, God bless you. How are you this evening? Amen.
I'm good. Thank you. I'm you. Sorry. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Is Pastor going to do the lesson or Sister Barbara?
I'll ask him.
Oh, okay. Because he's not on, that's why I asked the question. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise be to God. So while we're waiting, Sister Barbara, you want to pray us in? Amen.
Father, once more and again, a few of your humble servants come to say thank you. Lord, thank you for waking up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see another day that we've never seen before, a beautiful spring day, more like summer, they say. But we thank you, God. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do, and all that you're doing right now. Lord, forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. We pray that you would just continue to shower us with your unconditional love, your grace and mercy, your favor. Just you, Lord, just continue to shower us with you. Bless each and every person that's represented here. From the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, bless their families, bless their going out and their coming in, and just continue to do what you do, Lord. Thy will be done. Just thank you, Father. Thank you. Bless the government, too, and I pray that it will be what you would have it to be, and it's getting better, and we thank you for that. All these blessings I ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
You should get started. We'll be on.
Okay. So we're going to go back to part three where we left off at in the Ministry of Angels, chapter 21. And we had talked about praising him and worshiping, the angels worshiping him and rejoicing in what he does. They serve him. They appear before him. They're instruments of God's judgment. So right now we're going to talk about relation to the ministry of Christ, A, at his birth. Number one, prediction. Gabriel predicted his birth in Matthew 1 and 20 and Luke 1, 26 through 28. If you would get that, Evangelist Hilda, would you get the first one?
Okay.
And Nadine, get Luke 1, 26 through 28, talking about the prediction. Gabriel predicted his birth.
As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. In Luke 1, 26 through 28.
I'm reading, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, David 1, the Lord is with you.
Amen. So his birth, Christ's birth, was predicted. And the angel Gabriel was there at the time. What kind of angel would you say Gabriel was, is?
An archangel?
Gabriel,
yeah.
He was the messenger.
Mm-hmm. Well, all of them are messengers.
The messenger.
All angels are messengers.
Okay, but he was an archangel then. But even though they didn't say he was, but he was like up in the high rank, like Michael.
Right. Okay. Number two, announcement. An angel announced his birth to the shepherds and was then accompanied and praised by a multitude of angels. Who wants to get that? Luke 2, 8 through 15.
I lost us. Where are we? What chapter are we in?
We're in chapter 21, talking about the ministry of angels. We're in part three in relation to the ministry of Christ, and part two of A, talking about the announcement. Mm-hmm. Anyone want to get Luke 2, 8 through 15?
Okay.
Yeah. You have a helper?
Mm-hmm. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. 15, yes. Amen.
And so, excuse me, what do you think about that? What kind of angel was that that first appeared to the shepherds?
Those were, I think, they were the angels that, what you call them, the holy, that gives the praises of God. I'm not saying it right, but they are like the ones that be praising him all day and night. Yes. Thank you.
The seraph. Amen.
Yes, thank you.
And so what do you think of the appearance of the seraphim that caused the shepherds to be frightened?
They were radiant, like a bright, bright light.
Okay. Anything else? That shouldn't have scared them, a bright light. That should not have terrified them.
I don't know. Maybe because they were beautiful.
That wouldn't make anybody scared either, you think? Beauty would make you scared?
No.
Okay. All right.
So why were they afraid?
Well, I think frightening, you know, they were terribly frightened. I don't see it like the same type of terror that you have from something scary. It feels like it's the type of like, oh my God, like what? Like, oh, you know, that like when you're frightened, more so like, you know, are you worthy of these angels coming to you, or like, are they coming? You know, did I do anything wrong? You know, that type of almost like a reverent type of fear, you know.
Didn't they tell them not to be afraid? Okay, so
yeah,
it was more than
reverence. They did say not to be afraid.
Yeah, it was more than a reverence. It was something that was frightening to them as they looked at the angel. In my understanding, the angel was big, very big, with the wings and all of that. And it was a sight that they really weren't used to seeing, an angel out there in the field, too. So it was something that was startling to them, and they were afraid. Otherwise, the angel would not have said, you know, don't be afraid. It was something that showed, you know, caused them to be fearful. All right. So let's go on to the next part. I just lost page. 1 second. 121. And that was not 121, sorry. Bear with me a second. I lost. I thought it was a 151, okay. Part B, during his life. Number one is a warning. An angel warned Joseph and Mary to flee to Egypt to escape Herod's wrath. And this is coming from Matthew 2:13-15. Lady Nadine, would you read that?
Yep. The warning you said? Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph, Mary, and Jesus escaped to Egypt. Now, after they had gone away, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph, saying, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is about to seek the child to destroy him. So he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and went away to Egypt. And he was there until the death of Pharaoh.
Okay. So does anybody know what year Herod died?
I don't know the year he died, but I think they were there for 40 days though. Either 40 days or I don't know the year Herod died. When did Herod die?
Okay. Evangelist,
No.
He's supposed to have died? No.
In the direction. Okay, they say the next one talks about his death.
Mm-hmm. They say somewhere around 4 A.D. So
okay.
if Jesus born in, I'll say, 6 to 5 B.C., he supposedly, for a couple of years or more, if Herod died in 4 A.D., okay, so part
no B.C.
Excuse me.
In my book says he died in 4 B.C.
Herod died in 4 B.C.
In Matthew 2:19 through 22.
Well, that's what the next reference that we have. It says, "Now after Herod had died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream, saying, get up, the child and the mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the life of the child are dead. So he got up and took the child and his mother and entered into Israel." But it doesn't. Oh, in verse 22, it tells you?
Let me see. 21, Joseph in return. But when he learned that the new ruler didn't. No, it says so in the commentary. The commentary says Herod the Great died in 4 B.C. of an incurable disease.
Well, Jesus wasn't born to 4 or 5 B.C. So that means he died right away, and that's not what happened. Okay, let's take a look at Matthew 19 through 21.
That's what I just read, and that's where she's getting her commentary from. But 19 through 21 is the verse I just read.
Cool. I asked you to read 13 through 15.
No, I know that. But when we were talking about his death, I went ahead of you and read 19 to 21. Because it says the angel directed the family to return to Israel after Herod's death. So that's when I went ahead of you. I'm sorry. But I'll read it again. It says, "Now after Herod had died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were seeking the life of the child are dead. So he got up and took the child and his mother and entered the land of Israel." Now, which one was that? What was that? What chapter is that? Is that still 2?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, we're going to go to part 3, ministration, unless someone has an opinion about that. Angels ministered to him after his temptations, 4 and 11, and in his stress in Gethsemane. So I believe this is still Matthew 4:11. Nadine, read that, please, and then Evangelist gets Luke 22:43.
Okay.
Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and began ministering to him. That's Matthew 1:11.
And Luke 22:43 says, 41, then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. Amen.
Okay. I forgot where I saw it at, but I saw that Herod died around 4 A.D. But anyway, we're going to go on to part four. Did you read Luke 22:43?
Yes, ma'am. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. Amen.
Okay. All right. So angels ministered to him, to his temptation. What temptation was that?
Oh, that was the temptation of when, for the Satan, when Satan was tempting him. Then after after Satan left, then the angels came and they ministered him for, because he was being tempted for.
And what was Satan tempting him with? What was he telling him?
To that he would give him everything, the whole world, if he would bow down and worship him.
Amen, amen. And he quoted scripture to him.
Absolutely.
So that shows us that Satan knows the scripture just like Jesus knew it, okay? But he twisted it.
Yes.
You know, the way he was saying
it
wasn't exactly
right.
What was meant by the word, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be careful. Satan knows the word as well as his the Christians know the word, as well as Jesus knows the word. Number four, defense. He said the legions of... Go on.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, he also twisted the word to Eve when she told him. The Lord said he twisted that too.
He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver.
Don't worry about that.
And what he says sounds like it's right. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh,
right.
You're not going to die. God is lying to you. I mean,
in a sense,
they did not die right away, but they died
physically.
A spiritual death.
Right.
They died
exactly.
A spiritual death right away. That's why they had to be cast out of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
yes.
God didn't elaborate on the way that he meant it, but it was truth. He only speaks the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, defense. He said that legions of angels stood ready to come to his defense,
mm-hmm.
if called on. Matthew 26:53. And 53. Who wants to read that?
I have it. It says, or do you think that I cannot call upon my Father and he will put at my disposal at once more than 12 legions of angels?
That's power. That's powerful. Amen.
What
so,
a legion.
Go.
I know you know. What does he mean by legions, though? Legions of angels. That must be...
an army?
That's the number of angels. So someone want to look up and see the number that means, a legion?
Yeah, I'll look it up now. Mm-hmm.
We're going to go on to part C, after his resurrection.
Okay.
Number one, stone. An angel rolled away the stone from the tomb. Matthew 28:1-2. Evangelist, would you get that?
Okay. Matthew 28:1-2 says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake,
for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. You have it?
I'm having problems with my computer. Hello?
Your muscles saying.
Oh. He was just standing right over me. He said he's having problems with his computer, so he can't come in.
Well, can he hear us?
He's having problems logging in with his computer.
I said, can he share yours?
Oh, you mean sit next to me?
Whatever, stand next to you or whatever.
He was just standing here. You could hardly hear him, I think. Robert, you want to share mine? See, he said no. So lesions could be, I mean, the lesions, the strength is up to 6,000. So legions of angels stood ready to come into defense. So that's like six things. They're equating it legions as 6,000 because the Roman legion at the time of Jesus was 6,000 soldiers. And mm-hmm. so, therefore, 12 legions of angels, you know, would have been 12 times 6,000.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Amen. So 12 times 6,000 would be 12. 2. 3. Be
82,000? Okay. 82,000 angels.
Something like that. That's a lot of angels coming to his defense. So he said if he wanted to, he could just call his daddy. His daddy would send me.
Hallelujah.
Angels
yes.
to come to his defense. You know, don't bother him. Amen. So we read stone in part C. We're going to go to, thank you for that. We're going to go to part two, announcement. Angels announced his resurrection to the women on Easter morning, Matthew 28:5-6. If you would get that, Evangelist, and Nadine, get Luke 24:5-7, please.
Mm-hmm.
This was the announcement. So the stone was rolled away, and then they made the announcement. And then Jesus made the ascension.
Okay, then the angel spoke to the woman. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. Amen.
5 and 6. And 24. And as they were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, they said to them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen, but has been raised. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee? Saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of men who are sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise?
Amen, amen.
Amen.
All right. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, I mean, it's just so amazing how God and his angels, you know, how they all work together. I mean, they're telling, he's going back and telling him, don't you remember when he told you that? Because I know he told you. We know he told you this. So
that's right. But they didn't understand.
We know he told you. Right.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't they understand?
Oh, man, I don't think they were meant to understand. Sometimes God, you know, it's the same thing when they were walking with Jesus. When Jesus did, when he resurrected and he was walking with
on the road,
men, they didn't recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They didn't recognize him until he got to their house.
Yeah, and broke the bread and blessed it. So God, I mean, Jesus, excuse me, did not open their understanding. He told them, you know, I'll tear this temple down, and in 3 days I'll raise it again, and I'm going to die and go to my father. He told them all of that, but they did not understand because Jesus had not opened their understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. At that time. All right. I just looked up Herod died, and it says, historians generally believe that Herod died in 4 B.C., although there have been arguments made that he died in 5 B.C. or 1 B.C. The Gospel of Matthew claims to kill baby Jesus succeeded and killed the baby in Bethlehem in an event that is sometimes called the Massacre of the Innocents. And then I'm going to look at how old Jesus when King Herod died. Subtracting Jesus' age of about 30 years of preaching, subtracting 30 years, it appears that Jesus was born in 1 to 2 B.C. However, if the phrase about 30 is interpreted to mean 32 years old, this could fit a date of birth just within the reign of Herod, who died in 4 B.C.
Mm-hmm.
So there's right, they say 4 B.C. I said, I had 4 A.D. We look at it again. D. At his the rapture. Someone at 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is going to read, voice of the archangel will be heard at the translation of the church.
So I just want to also say that that Jesus lived that, because I want to see how long they were in Egypt. They were in Egypt for 3 years.
Somebody's television is too loud.
I don't have anything on.
I don't have anything on. So let's go back to part three. I didn't look at that. Ascension. Angels were present at his ascension. Acts 1:10-11. Evangelist, would you read that? And Nadine is going to get 1 Thessalonians for the rapture, if she would.
What do you want me to read? Acts 1:10?
Acts 1:10-11, please.
Okay.
The ascension. Angels were present at his ascension. What is an ascension?
Rising, going up.
All right, going into heaven, going into heaven, right? In particular, going, but rising up in general. Okay.
Acts 1 and
ready?
10. Yes, ma'am.
1:10-3.
As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Same way he went up, same way he's coming back.
Gonna come back. Part D, at his coming, the rapture, the voice of the archangel will be at the translation of the church. 1 Thessalonians 16
says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Can you imagine just watching the dead rise?
rising, going up to him. Wow.
I mean.
So what is the rapture? What is the rapture?
Isn't that when Christ come again? The voice.
Yeah. But maybe there's another.
What happens for the rapture? Don't look it up yet. What is the rapture?
Well, the rapture is the second coming of Jesus.
And so what happens then?
So like Thessalonians 16 says that, you know.
The dead in Christ shall rise first.
There's a series of events that occur in a specific order.
And what's that?
So what happens during the rapture?
The
you're looking it up. I don't want you to read it first.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't want
details.
You to read it first.
Yeah, I don't remember the details.
Okay. The rapture is when, as you read, the dead in Christ will rise first, but those who remain and are alive will be caught up to meet him in the air.
Mm-hmm.
That's the rapture. All right,
okay,
that's the rap. And it seems to be different from the second coming. As we read in Second Coming Part 2, angels will accompany him at the second coming. Matthew 25:31 and 2 Thessalonians 1:7. Nadine, stay in Thessalonians, but it's 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And Evangelist,
okay.
Would you read Matthew 25:31 first?
Yes.
Matthew 25:31
says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. Amen.
And 2 Thessalonians say, and to you who are being afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with his powerful angels.
Mm. Okay. So I'm going to look at the rapture is an eschatological, theological position held by some Christians, particularly within branches of American evangelicalism, consisting of an end-time event when all Christian believers who are alive, along with resurrected believers, will rise in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The origin of the term extends from Paul the Apostle's first epistle to the Thessalonians in the Bible, in which he uses the Greek word harpazo, and is an ancient Greek word written in Greek, meaning to snatch away or to seize, and explains that believers in Jesus Christ will be snatched away from earth into the air. So that's what we were saying. The idea of a rapture as it is currently defined is not found in historic Christianity, but is a relatively recent doctrine of evangelical Protestantism. The term is most frequently used among evangelical Protestant theologians in the United States. Rapture has also been used for a mystical union with God or for eternal life in heaven. All right, so basically,
right.
Caught up to meet him in the air. Amen.
And you know what else I was looking at today? I was reading today that I thought was very interesting. And when we look at it, you know, you can see the correlation to it. I was like, wow. So talking about the word exile, right? And it went on to say the first exile was, you know, because exile is being, it means that you are forced to leave your home, right? And it was saying that the first exile was Adam and Eve, right? They were thrown out of the garden.
Right.
That's right.
And then they talked about, of course, the exiles of the Jews. Right, when they were forced to leave their home,
Right.
But then they talked about the exile that we as Christians, you know, in general, on a whole, are exiled because this is not our home.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't until the rapture that
right.
we finally get
mm-hmm.
home.
Amen.
So
right.
we are living in exile here.
Yes, we are.
This is not
and
our home.
Because this is not our home. Exactly.
We're just pilgrims passing through, yes.
Yep.
Right.
That's
right.
Why he said
yeah,
he was
when
going
I heard that I was like
a home for us.
Wow.
So we know that this mm-hmm. is not our home.
That's mm-hmm. a mansion for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Because I never thought of them as being cast into exile. But they were. They were kicked out of their home, out of their garden.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They wasn't supposed. And for every reason, they were saying, you know, every time there's been an exile, it's been because of the disobedience to God.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Each exile was forced
right.
by
it's the Babylonian exile. They were being disobedient. They were sinning.
Yep.
They kept
right.
sinning.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So that
yeah.
is a lot of why people are kicked out of where they are because of sin and disobedience. They
right.
don't listen.
Exactly.
They
want to
do what they
exactly.
want to do. Excellent. Excellent point. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then part three, judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You read 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I don't think
Thank
so.
You. Okay, would you read that then?
I did read it. And to you who are being afflicted, rest
mm-hmm.
with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with his powerful angels.
Right. I don't think I heard that. You read that before?
I did. At least, not unless I just read it to myself.
Okay.
Anticipating reading it, maybe I just read it to myself.
Okay. Thank you, though. That's excellent. And part three, any opinion about that, the second coming?
Nope. I'm just waiting
okay.
on the second coming and praying that I get in there.
Praying that you're still alive.
Hey,
all right, judgment, part three.
Mm-hmm.
Angels will separate from the tares at his second coming. Matthew
mm-hmm.
1, 39-40. Evangelist, would you read that?
Yes, ma'am. 39 says,
this is the judgment.
The enemy who planted the weed among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. 40. Amen.
Thank you. What do you think about that? The wheat will be separated from the tares. And when someone had said, well, should we take the tares out now or just, and Jesus told them, no, let them grow together and we'll sort them out at the end. What do you think about that?
That means,
yeah. I mean,
go ahead.
I mean, because I don't know if this scripture goes on to talk about, you know, how, you know, with the judgment, what happens with the judgment? Because we have, you know, those who just will not go to heaven, and then we have those who will go to heaven and be judged once we get there. And I think that this refers to, you know, I'm not sure whether this particular verse refers to the separating of the wheat from the tares in heaven, or this is before you even get there.
Okay.
But the reason why I'm thinking that it is for heaven is because, you know, because there's when you'll see whether your work, even though we don't, you know, we don't work for salvation, but our salvation is free, but what you did with your salvation will be judged once we get in heaven.
Okay, so you think this one is talking about being in heaven?
I'm not sure. I have to read the whole chapter.
Okay.
Figure that out. Then,
yeah, but the whole chapter is not talking just about the wheat and the tare. It's divided into parts. But for me, I think when he was saying to let the wheat grow with the tares grow with the wheat, it means like the evil and the good is gonna grow together, and then at the end he's gonna separate them. So that means he's gonna separate the evil from the good. The angels are,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's it's gonna be before heaven.
Okay. Because it says angels will separate the wheat from the tares at his second coming. Doesn't say once we get to heaven.
Right.
This is before that. So everybody's going to be judged. Amen. Right. But he's saying that we are not going to, you know, say we can't associate with the sheep or we can't associate with the, they're going to all be together.
Mm-hmm.
And he will do the separating when he comes back.
That's right.
Amen. And so that to me implies on earth, not in heaven yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we can read it. I mean, if you find out something different, you know, please share that with us, God willing, next week. Any questions about that before we go on to part four in relation to nations of the world?
No, I'm good.
No? Okay. Part A, in relation to the nation Israel, Michael the archangel especially guards Israel. Daniel 12:1. Who wants to get that?
Which one? Daniel?
Daniel 12:1.
Oh, I have it.
Okay, go ahead.
And this is, the time of judgment and resurrection. Now, at that time, Michael, the great prince, will arise to protect over the sons of your people. And it will be a time of distress that has not been since your people have been a nation until that time. And at that time, your people will escape, everyone who is found written in the scroll.
Okay. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, so this is especially God's Israel, the relationship to the nation of Israel.
You there?
Yes. So I'm just reading it again. So, Daniel's predicting that it's like Michael the archangel is going to protect those people that Daniel was talking about, I guess the Israelites, who was found, whose names were found in the scrolls. And it says, at that time, your people will escape, everyone who is found written in the scroll.
Okay. In relation to other nations, angels watch over rulers and nations, Daniel 4 and 17, evangelists, and seek to influence their human leaders. Nadine 10:21 and 11:1.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Says, for this has been decreed by the messenger. It is commanded by the Holy Ones, so that everyone may know that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world. He gives them to anyone he chooses, even to the lowest of people. Okay.
So what is that saying to you?
For this has been the decree of the messengers, and it is commanded by the Holy Ones. I don't know.
Any thoughts about that, Nadine?
Yes. Let me just read it again. The sentence is by decree of the watcher, and the decision by the command of the Holy One, which we know is God, in order that the living will know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdom of humankind, and to whom he will, he gives, and he even sets the humblest of men over it. So the angels watch over the rulers of the nations. So it's like whoever God has willed, you know, he'll be because he's sovereign over the kingdom of humankind. So whoever God makes a decision as far as rulers and nations, you know, he'll protect them. He'll watch over them.
Okay. And he's seeking to influence them.
Right.
Amen. He's going to watch over them, and he's seeking to influence them.
Right. Yeah, that's
especially in doing the right thing. Amen.
Right.
All right. Thank you. So let's look at 10:21 and 11:1. Daniel?
Well, 10:21 says, however, I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth, and there is not one who contends with me against these beings except Michael, your prince.
In 11:1, we'll come back to that though.
11:1 says, and I, in the first year of Darius of Mede, stood as a support and as a protection for him. So Daniel is saying that he was committed to protecting Darius, King Darius, the Mede, because King Darius was there are several thoughts on this, because in the book of Daniel, talks about King Darius, the Mede of Persia, being the one who overthrew Babylon from Belshazzar, which is Nebuchadnezzar's son. And it says that, because it's the same King Darius who Daniel had a really great relationship with him. But then because he had a good relationship with Darius, remember, that's when the other commissioners and all the other people, they were jealous. So they set up that decree to get Daniel to bow down. And then when Daniel didn't bow down, then King Darius had to put him into the lion's den. But you remember,
right,
King Darius was just like, he didn't want to do it. You know,
right,
he didn't want to do it at all. But
yeah, he liked
him. And, right. They had a relationship, you know. So this is where, in the beginning, where you see, you know, where Darius is saying that in his first year, he stood with him to protect him.
And so, thank you. That seems to be saying, too, that the angels watch over rulers, Darius,
mm-hmm.
and even Nebuchadnezzar, and seek to influence their human leaders.
Exactly.
So, Darius was not a Jew, but he just had a thing. He had an affinity for Daniel,
mm-hmm.
and Daniel had an affinity for him. They liked one another.
Right.
Amen. And he didn't want anything wrong to happen to Daniel. He was the night that, that other time, I don't know if it was night or day, but the time that Daniel was put into the lion's den, Darius couldn't eat. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat. He was worried all night long. And the first break of day, he ran to the lion's den. He was like, oh, Daniel, you know, and then Daniel was like, okay, I'm
your
still
God
here. You know,
and,
all right.
And he,
that is so beautiful.
Made a decree that everyone should, you know, respect the God of Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the God of Daniel. I mean,
was converted.
So awesome. Mm-hmm.
Great God. I love that. Okay, getting back, thank you, to the original question. What kind of, Michael was an archangel, what kind of angel was he? Was he a praiser? Was he a guard?
There's a name for the angels that guard over. Isn't it?
Cherubim. But he wasn't a cherubim. He was an archangel.
He
wasn't a cherubim. Okay, I'm going to read you. An archangel.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, the archangel in the Bible and the Quran, is Michael, M-I-K-A-L, one of the archangels. What do you think he was, Evangelist Hilda? What kind of... any thoughts?
Michael? Wasn't he...
Michael.
He was the Warren angel?
Yes! He is repeatedly depicted as the great captain, the leader of the heavenly host, and the warrior helping the children of Israel. He's a warrioring angel. He's ready to fight anytime. He's ready. He's on point. You know, he wants to hurt somebody. He's left with his kids and his Israelites. He's ready to fight.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Okay, it's almost time, but we're going to read this last one where it says, this is part B, during the coming tribulation years, angels will be involved in the administration of God's judgment. All right? Nadine, read 8 through 9, and Evangelist, read 16.
Yep.
Revelation 8 through 9, and Evangelist 16, please.
Okay, so Revelation 8 through 9, the opening of the seventh seal. And when it opened, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and the seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and a large amount of incense was given to him in order that he could offer the prayer of all the saints on the golden altar. I was reading. Revelation, oh, chapter 8 through 9. Chapter 9. That's a whole two chapters.
Yeah. Okay, we don't want...
That's,
yeah, I don't want to be bad. I'm sorry. I was
and the whole
something.
Of 16.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Right. But we can do that for homework if you want to. You want to do that
yes.
for homework? We can take a look at Revelation 8 through 9. And Evangelist,
yes.
did you read? Oh, that's the whole of 16
that's
too.
That's the whole of 16.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's look at that if we get a moment for homework. Okay.
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 That's where we stop.
Yeah, because it says it's like it's good. It says during the coming tribulation years, angels will be involved in the administration of God's judgment. So yeah, that'll be a good thing to read. Mm-hmm.
That'll be good to read. And we also, before we close out, we had homework. All right, we were talking about who was beheaded. Remember when we talked about Peter's brother?
Oh,
who was supposed to find out who Peter's brother is or was?
Well, I know his brother was Andrew, but I couldn't find out. Yeah, Peter's brother is Andrew, but I just...
But how many brothers did Peter have? He only had one?
Yeah.
They only talk about one. At least being a disciple, they don't really get into... So you're right. Andrew was his brother, and Andrew was also one of the apostles. One of the disciples, the original disciples turned apostle. And you said that Peter was beheaded, correct?
Well, yeah, he was martyred by crucifixion. So I don't know if he was actually beheaded. But
okay, that's a different thing, being beheaded
and
being crucified. One is nailed to the cross or tied to the cross, and one is just losing your head. Not just, but one is between heads.
But wasn't Peter crucified on the cross upside down?
That we're talking about Andrew. But at the time.
Oh, Andrew.
At this time, it was. No, it didn't say. It just says
that Peter
he
was the one who thought he wasn't equal to Christ. So he chose to be crucified upside down.
Yes.
So you know what, Evangelist, if you would clarify that for us for next week,
please.
That would be beautiful.
Yeah,
okay.
Great.
Oh, okay.
Evangelist?
Yes,
Peter.
I'm listening. I'm here.
Yeah, I'm just writing it down. Peter crucified or beheaded. We said he wasn't beheaded, so was he the one crucified upside down?
Upside down, okay.
On the cross, because he wasn't worthy to be crucified the way that Jesus Christ was. He thought himself of unworthy.
Right.
Amen. So we're going to also look at for homework, Revelation 8 through 9, and 16. All right?
And 16.
That's for next week. That's for the 4th of May. I believe it's the 4th.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Wonderful lesson today.
Yes.
We stopped at 4 and D. We finished it, but we're going to go back to that. So we're ready for part 5. How's the pastor? How's the apostle?
Oh, he's fine. He's trying to fix his computer. I don't know what's wrong.
Okay. Give him my regards, okay?
All right, we'll do.
Yeah,
someone
prayers out.
I want to acknowledge our guest online. God bless you, 646-505. How were you this evening, and did you enjoy the lesson tonight? Amen. So, who's going to pray us out?
You want to pray us out?
You.
Oh, me. Praise Lord.
You.
Precious and Heavenly Father, we thank you once again this evening for all that was said. And we thank you for opening up our minds and our ears and our eyes to see, hear, and perceive what thus says the Lord. We thank you for this lesson tonight. But most of all, Lord God, we thank you for the
the our teacher, Barbara Amore, who was standing in for Apostle Audie Wiggins. Thank you, Lord God, for her doing a wonderful job and for clarifying what we read. Bless us. Bless her. Bless Pray One for Another. Bless our Pastor Apostle Audie Wiggins. And bless each and every one that tuned in tonight to hear what thus says the Lord in our lesson. Amen. So thank you.
Amen.
Praise your holy name.
Okay.
Wonderful job, Sister Barbara. Yay, I enjoyed this class.
If you're not careful, Pastor's going to make you our teacher on Wednesdays.
Okay. So all right, guys.
From another.
Okay, bye. Love you guys.
Amen.
I will and we see each other. And Sunday. Amen.
On Sunday, right?
Other than Sunday.
Oh, Saturday and Sunday. Amen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have
so
a blessed.
God bless. You too. Love you guys.
Love you.
I'm not playing any music. I'm just going to close us out.